full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Narrative First Podcast, the weekly podcast where story is always king. I am your host, Jim Hull, the voice of Narrative First. This is episode number 14, 9 Steps Towards Telling Your Story. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're going to talk about concrete steps you can take towards telling your life story. Everyone has a story to tell, whether they're an individual, a local group, or a business striving to define itself. Narrative helps put the events of our lives into context and gives meaning to the day in and day out. But putting that story into action and telling it in a way that is compelling and engaging can be quite overwhelming. That is where we come in. At Narrative First, we are in the business of helping you tell a better story. By using techniques proven time and time again to be successful towards structuring a functional narrative, we can help you frame your life's events into something truly spectacular. You know, we're currently working with a writer who is actually writing some nonfiction. It's our first nonfiction client, and it's actually, you know, working with him is what inspired writing these past two articles and these past two podcasts on transforming real life into story. Plus, you know, I'm really intrigued by this wave of storytelling. You know, if you do hashtag storytelling on Twitter, different places like getstoried.com, all these kind of areas where it seems like everybody in business and in organizations, they want to know, you know, what it is that will set you apart from everyone is your story, what your narrative is. Because we have a unique perspective here on narrative, you know, through Dramatica and through all the experiences we've had, we want to be able to start offering services to help people write actually great stories. You know, when I go and I listen to these other podcasts and I watch these other people talk about story, they really don't get into the actual nuts and bolts of writing a story. It's a lot of touchy-feely stuff and how important it is to tell your story, and that stuff is important. But, you know, just like it's fun to read Blake Snyder's book or any of these other screenwriting books that really don't tell you exactly what to do, you know, or just give you kind of an overview of what it is you should be feeling when you write, we want to approach it from the objective point of view, from the writer's point of view, and actually, you know, give people something to work with, something to actually write with. And it's been really productive working with this other writer. And it's amazing how his life story actually fits into a story form. Once we figured out the goal and figured out the context, you know, the limit, basically these steps that we will be going over in this podcast, you know, it's amazing how real life actually fits into a story form. And, you know, and then identifying the relationship behind everything that went on, that was really eye-opening. And it's a really compelling narrative now because we've put it within the framework of a story form, of a Dramatica story form. For those of you who don't know, a Dramatica story form is a collection of 75 story points that pinpoint the deep thematic concerns of the narrative you're trying to tell. And in the current model of Dramatica, there's something like 32,767 different possible story forms. And it could be, you know, any one of those 32,000. So chances are you're not going to tell the same story as someone else. And if you do have the same exact story form, like Birdman, if you saw that film, and Star Wars have the same exact story form. Okay, they have the same exact story form. They couldn't be more different. Michael Keaton is basically Luke Skywalker, and Birdman is Obi-Wan. And anything else that happens in there, that it's all Star Wars in there. So whether or not you have the same story form as somebody else, you're going to have a completely different story because your unique storytelling is unique to you. And that's what we'll be getting into when we go over these 9 story points. Follow-up this week, except to say how great was that interview with Dave Pimentel last week, Disney's head of story on Moana. It was great to talk to somebody about story and story structure, someone who deals with it day in, day out. Although then again, I guess I deal with it day in and day out. We look forward to having more interviews here in the months ahead. Try and get Chris and Melanie in here to talk about Dramatica and hopefully get them to explain all the secrets of the theory. We're also looking at getting more filmmakers in here like Dave, executive producers, writers, People have used our services to improve their own storytelling, and those artists who are interested in learning about how Dramatica can help them write a better story. The only announcement, too, is that the Dramatica users group is tonight. The movie is Stalag 17. We'll be meeting 7 p.m. at the Wright Brothers offices in Burbank, California. We'll leave links in the show notes to directions to there, and you're more than welcome to join. And if you can't make it or you're listening to this the next day, of course, there will be the analysis online, and it will be able for you to stream or to listen in your podcast player. I did want to mention that Melanie Ann Phillips, one of the co-creators of the Dramatica Theory of Story, that she released her Master Storyteller Method late last week. As Melanie put in her blog post that I will link in the show notes, often structure is brought into the picture too soon. Clamping your passion into an Iron Maiden that pierces it more deeply with every turn of a structural screw until it bleeds out entirely. In contrast, writing with purposeless abandon creates a jellyfish of a story, an amorphous blob of subject matter with no spine, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Which is brilliant, because anytime you can quote Shakespeare is brilliant. Melanie here is talking about the layered method that she came up with and kind of developed over the summer. And, you know, she had spoken with me about it, and I've been using it with some clients and have had great success with it. Like, everybody just seems to really like it. Especially those more organic writers who, while they understand and appreciate Dramatica, would prefer to kind of work the system or work their novel. It's a lot of novelists. They prefer to work the story first and then kind of have the structure rise to the surface out of it. And it seems to be a really good approach. I mean, I have some other writers who prefer, you know, strict structural, and they want to work right from Dramatica from the very beginning, which is more like me, and there isn't one that is better than the other, but this new approach is, it's really exciting, and Melanie's put a lot of work and effort into it. You know, as Melanie puts it in that same blog post, keep in mind that no structure has to be perfect in a finished work. Still, you'll want your structure to be as sound as possible without undermining the very concepts that drew you to want to write this particular story in the first place. In the end, it is a judgment call for the author as to whether drifting off structure does too much harm or is okay in any given case. And it's really great. She has this free program on there so you can learn about it all by yourself in kind of a self-guided process, or you can even engage her personally to help you write your story. So you'll want to go check out her Master Storyteller Method. And the links will be in the show notes. Last week we talked about transforming your real life into a story and how a better understanding of how the mind operates and solves problems makes it easier to craft that narrative. This week we're going to walk you step by step through the process we use here at Narrative First to help writers of fiction and nonfiction alike to begin to craft their unique story. The first four steps are all about the story itself, where the second set of four steps are all about you. Step one, the first and possibly the easiest step to take, is to define the goal of your story. It helps set the context for what you will be looking at and gives a starting and ending point for the narrative. So what is that goal of your story? Did you want to learn everything you could about Eastern culture? Well, then that would be your goal. Maybe you had a half marathon you wanted to compete in. Maybe you wanted to actually win the half marathon, and there actually is a difference in goals there. Or maybe you wanted to transform the culture of your organization. Whatever it is, there was some goal you had in mind, something you set out to accomplish. So what you want to do is you want to write a paragraph in the beginning of your story, describing the goal that you set out to accomplish. It's an easy way to define the narrative that we'll be examining in your story. You know, in life, there are tons of different narratives going on. You know, your narratives with your significant other, if you have children, you have narratives there, work, your neighbors, your city, the country you live in, all kinds of different narratives. So what we want to do is we want to establish the context for what this story is all about. And a goal is the easiest way to get started. So now that you have set the context, what you want to do now is to set the scope of that narrative. And every great story, I mean, you can look on our site and on Dramatica.com and see all the great stories that have been written. In every great story, it comes to an end because either the characters run out of time or they run out of options. So since you're the character in your story, which one sounds more appropriate in the context of the goal that you set out. You know, if you set out to learn everything you could about other cultures, did you set out on a walkabout through 5 different Eastern European countries? Okay, so if so, then your story came to an end because you ran out of options. Those 5 countries were your options. So one by one, you worked your way through each one until finally you came to that last one. And you probably felt like time was running out when you hit that last country. That's what it's like to be within a story. So right now we're just trying to define your story and kind of define what the actual, the scope of it is from an objective point of view. You know, it might have felt different to you inside the story, and that's the same way it feels to fictional characters in a story. Or maybe you were preparing for a marathon that took place 57 days from when you started. So maybe you pulled out a calendar, you circled the date, and then day by day you marked off each day. And as time drew nearer, you started to feel like, oh, I'm running out of options. You know, there's only so many things I can do now with only 5 days left, with only 4 days left. Again, that's the subjective viewpoint of that limit from within the story. And what you want to do is actually define the objective view. What was the actual scope of your story? What was the actual limit? And remember that each of these steps builds upon the last. You know, they don't work by themselves. So this limit here actually works with the goal that you wrote in the first step. That limit, whether you ran out of time or options, is the thing that eventually led to you reaching that goal. So what you want to do is find a way to integrate the scope of your story or that limit, either that time's running out or that options are running out, and integrate that with the goal of your story that you wrote in step one. So do that at the very beginning, and then write perhaps a paragraph at the end explaining how time ran out or how options ran out. And when you write that final paragraph, you want to start working on the third step, which is telling us, did you win or lose? Did you achieve the goal or did you not achieve the goal? Did you nail that account? Did you transform your kid's soccer team? Did you hike that mountain or maybe you stopped halfway? Did you fail to make the quarterfinals in that screenplay contest? Or did you find out that no one can ever truly know all there is to know about a culture? So either you won or you lost. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, there might be some other way you would have won, but for right now, just straight off comparing the beginning to the end, the goal that you set out, and when that limit ran out, what was the actual outcome of everything that happened? So whatever that outcome is, write it down at the end of your story. It may seem simple, but it is important to communicate to those who will end up reading your story how everything turned out. So now we reach step 4, and at first this next step may seem kind of silly or inconsequential when it comes to telling your story, but it's every bit as important as the last. And it's, how did you feel after it was all said and done? Did you feel great? Did you feel great about climbing that mountain? Or were you just miserable and wish you'd never done it and never want to do it again? You know, did you feel relief transforming that soccer team or transforming your organization? Or do you feel even more lost and more confused at the end of it all? And are you still bothered by everything that went on? So what you want to do is communicate your emotional state at the end of your story. And it's important, you know, just like in film, you communicate the main character's emotional state at the end of the film, and it gives us an idea of whether or not they were right or wrong to make the choices that they made. You know, in The Dark Knight, Batman is in a worse place because he saw himself become the villain, right? So that's not a great turnout. You know, I used to joke that those were my favorite kind of films where the main character succeeded in what they set out to do, but you know, ultimately it was tragic to themselves personally, and they always seem to be my favorite films to watch. You know, working for 15 years as an animator at DreamWorks will kind of do that to you because, you know, you work really hard on scenes and kill yourself getting them done. It would be at a great cost to me emotionally, you know, because it would either be in to service of a film that didn't have a great story or, you know, I would have had to spend tons of time away from my family. And, you know, so yes, I was successful, but, you know, I wasn't feeling so great about it. Whereas in something like Hunt for the Wilder People, which is an indie film that just came out, it's a great, great film, Ricky, the main character there, felt great about how everything turned out and was in a much better place than he was at the beginning of the story. And so you want to communicate that same thing in your own life story, that same story that you're trying to communicate, whether it's the story of your business or the story of yourself. You know, what is that emotional state that you reached at the end? And as you can see with this last story point, we're starting to work our way more towards the personal side of things. You know, the first 3 steps, the goal, the limit to the story, and kind of the outcome of how everything turned out, those are devoid of any real emotion or any real passion. And they're really just setting, you know, the plot of the story. But here at the end, cluing us in on how you felt towards the end of the story gives us, you know, your audience, a reason to actually care about what went on. You know, whether or not you reach a goal is great, and it's nice to see that, but we really want an emotional attachment, and we want to know how you felt towards the end of it. It helps us empathize with your plight and understand everything you went through. So with this last story point number four, you need to integrate that with the ending that you have with the outcome and write down exactly, you know, your emotional state of mind and how you felt about how everything turned out. So those first story points set the plot of the story. And now we're going to work more towards the personal side of things. So having established that framework for your story and a context for your events, we now turn our attention towards you. This is often the most difficult part of turning anyone's life into a story because it can be hard to sit back and take an objective look at yourself. But we need to identify the personal issues in your life as they are key to giving your story emotional resonance, just like we talked about in that last story point. Your readers or your viewers want a reason to care. They want to know something intimate about you that they can somehow relate to their own life struggle. So if you stay closed off and refuse to open up and be honest about what you went through, the story itself will feel closed and muted, and no one will be really into it. No one wants to sit through a story like that. And if these events just occurred, the emotional fallout may still be difficult for you to appraise. You know, it might be difficult for you to figure out exactly where you are if it just happened. You know, the more time you have between now and when that story ended will make all the difference in understanding your own personal issues. So step five, as we get into the more personal side of things, is you need to write about your own personal baggage. You know, you need to give your audience something to latch onto and something to care about. And that emotional state of mind that you wrote about in step four, that is completely connected to this personal baggage. So in the beginning of your story, you want to establish that personal baggage. You want to write about, you know, how you were when you first set off on that European trip, or how you were before you climbed the mountain, or where you stood when it came to trying to transform your company. You want to put down the kind of personal issues that you were dealing with, and then at the end of the story, round where the outcome is and where that judgment is, you want to write pretty much, you want to write about whether or not you were able to get rid of that baggage. Like, were you still beset by all these problems and all these afflictions that you were going through and struggles that you were going through, or did you find a way to work through that? You know, did you find some sort of acceptance of the way things really are? Did you start to believe in yourself for once and for all? Or, you know, were you in a worse place where you just didn't believe in anything? I mean, not every story has to be a triumph. Of course, if you're writing about your business, you'll probably want to write a story of triumph, which is what most people who write stories about businesses are trying to write. You know, certainly here at Narrative First, we have our own narrative that we're working on, which is, you know, transforming the world of storytelling, trying to make just a world of better stories. And, you know, we like to think of ourselves as the influence character, and the, you know, the writers and producers and directors out there, they're the main characters who probably are a little bit skeptical of what's going on here, because, you know, there's lots of system, lots of different paradigms of trains of thought about how story works. And, you know, the problem with those other trains of thought is that they work in some context, but not in all. And with Dramatica, because it's objective, you know, it's a lot more difficult to understand and to apply to story, because sometimes it cannot be as much fun. But it works in all contexts, and it gives a framework for the narrative that you're trying to tell. And so, you know, the narrative that we're trying to tell is we're trying to, you know, transform the world of story and, you know, hopefully develop a relationship with writers, novelists, filmmakers, and help give them the tools and techniques to be able to tell the story that they have inside of them. And, you know, the reason we are compelled to write is because there's certain things within us, you know, our own personal baggage that we would like to overcome that we can't see. And, you know, that's why we put these stories down. And so, you know, working as your influence character here at Narrative First, we, you know, help you identify your personal issues and your baggage. And then we help you identify, you know, the personal issues and baggage within your own story and help you actually finish it. I mean, that's the whole point of actually writing, is to actually finish a story, right? So that's what we do. So when you're writing your own story, you know, if you're trying to transform your own life into an actual narrative, you want to have that personal baggage, that thing that's driving you to actually reach that goal. Okay, so now that we know your personal baggage and the issues that brought you into this story, what you want to do in step six is to identify the point of view that you had that came from this baggage. So, you know, whether or not it's a lifelong issue, a childhood issue, you know, or you were put down so many times before, that's what gave you the motivation to climb that mountain, or you've been so successful at transforming other businesses, that's the point of view that you came into this story to be able to transform your business. Whatever that point of view is that arose from those personal issues of yours, you want to communicate that to your audience. And what you want to do is you want to write about it at the beginning of your story, show how it develops over time, and then show at the end where that point of view ended up. I mean, did you still feel the same thing, or did you perhaps, you know, develop a different point of view? That point of view is important because it attaches the audience to your story and tells them exactly where you were coming from. Again, this requires deep introspection, but you need to be honest about it. And you want to write about whether or not your unique point of view, did it make it harder for you to reach that goal, or did it make it easier? You know, that baggage, sometimes baggage is a good thing. You know, sometimes baggage is what gives you the motivation to climb that hill or to run that race even faster. What was that point of view that held you back or perhaps gave you the motivation to reach that goal from the very start? And in step seven, it's time to start thinking of your life as a story. Who came in during that time and challenged you to deal with those emotional issues personally? You know, there has to be somebody that came in and shined a light on what it was you were dealing with and said, hey, you know what? I see things a different way. Identify who was the person who was the greatest personal influence on you during this time. It could have been a father figure. It could have been your actual father. It could have been your mother, your sister, your coach, or maybe even just a teacher. There may have even been someone on your team, while similar to you, was just different enough to be intriguing. Who pushed you to your limits? You know, you may have walked down the wrong alley in Pakistan, or you might have lost that first qualifying race to that other runner from Boston, or maybe you lost a couple accounts to your competition. Those are all logistical concerns and have more to do with the goal and outcome from those first couple of story points we went over. What we're looking at now is an intimate personal challenge coming from a point of view different from your own. And what you want to do is write about that person coming into your life and how they challenge you with this different point of view. Okay, in step five, we identified your personal baggage. And in step six, we identified that unique point of view that arose from that baggage. And in step seven, we identified that other character who came in and challenged you to deal with your own personal issues. Whether you realized it or not, there was somebody that was coming in there to challenge those issues. Now what you want to do is you want to develop those two competing points of view, those two different approaches towards reaching that goal, and you want them to go back and forth. You want to start them out at the beginning, they're both at opposite ends, and they go back and forth and they develop throughout the middle of your story and throughout the end, towards the end. And once that limit comes up and brings that outcome to a conclusion, which one of you ended up adopting the other's point of view? That is how you transform life events into a story. Now, you may likely think that, oh, both of us adopted each other's perspective, and while that's beautiful and all, that's not really a story. I mean, what you're actually doing is there's a different context going on where, you know, the two of you adopting it was actually in contrast to somebody else not adopting, but that's a different story. What you want to do is figure out which one of you came to the other's point of view and write about how that change in that person, how they came to that other person's point of view, how that ended up making the outcome a reality. You know, if your own personal baggage made it easier for you to reach the story goal, then you want to make sure that this other character's point of view makes it harder for you to reach the goal. And, you know, basically, let's say you climbed that mountain, then it was you, you know, standing your ground and standing up to this other person, and they eventually came over to your way of seeing things. That's creating a narrative out of plain old everyday life events. You're giving meaning to the meaningless. If instead your personal baggage actually made it more difficult for you to reach that goal, then you want to make sure that the other character's point of view is the one that you needed to follow in order to reach the goal. And the ninth and final step is writing about the relationship between you and this other person. Now, you might not have even thought of putting that into your story, but it really is an important part of crafting the narrative. You want to make it heartfelt and about that space between the two of you, not about you or about this other person, but that space in between. How did the two of you feel about one another at the beginning, and how did you feel at the end? Did your relationship grow stronger, or did it dissolve to where you don't even speak to each other anymore? Again, you want this to be the passionate side of your story. And what it will do is it will give passion to those more logistical concerns from the first couple of story points. And so what you want to do is you want to write about that relationship in the beginning, how it developed through those competing points of view, and how it perhaps brought you closer, pulled you apart, and then finally, where did the two of you end up at the end of the story? You know, did you end up in Shawshank Redemption where you're waving to your buddy on a boat? Or is it something like Silence of the Lambs where, you know, you wish you hadn't taken that phone call? So those are the 9 steps you can take to transform your life story into a fully functional narrative. And it's the same thing we do at Narrative First with writers who are writing their own stories. The key is you have to be real. You need to open up about your personal baggage, and you need to be honest about what it is you went through. Writing a story like this is almost like going through therapy. That is why it can be helpful sometimes to turn towards an expert, you know, someone who understands narrative and the inner workings of story and its relation to problem solving, to help you figure out exactly what it is at the core of your story. Here at Narrative First, we excel at finding your life's narrative and the deep meaning behind the story you want to tell. Our ability to take a third-person objective view of you and everything you went through and funnel it through the filter of a comprehensive system of structural and dynamic story points is second to none. In essence, we act as your personal influence character in telling your life story. What you can do now is you can download an action guide for this episode outlining those 9 steps and use it in writing your life story. You can find the download link for that action guide in the show notes. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can reach us at narrativefirst.com/contact, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening this week. If you have any questions about anything, you want to leave some feedback, you can always go to narrativefirst.com/podcast, and you'll find a button there on the right-hand side. You can leave a voicemail and we'll put you on the air, or you can ask us any questions at narrativefirst.com/contact. Have a great week, have fun writing, and we'll see you next week.